welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
We used to sing a song, "If you're happy and you know it, say amen."
Amen.
And you don't want to blow it, say amen. We don't want to blow it, do we? Amen. Boy, it's good to see all of you. I know we have some empty seats. Just wish them well. But a lot of them's on vacation, and just Lord, we just ask you to bless them on their time off and bring them back safely. Let them have fun in you. Before we get started, I'd like to show you an update video. Just a little bit. Did we have that ready? This is where the kids are, or were. That's some of them. It's Austin. Wow. Ooh-wee. That's a short one. I didn't cut it off. It was sent to me that way. But that's some of our kids. We had about 39 people, counted the youth and workers and pastors and all, went down, and they're headed back now, so be praying for their safety. And that song was one of the songs that we did in VBS. How many of you remember VBS? That was one of them. I washed in the water, washed in the blood. I'm brand new, or something like that. Hallelujah. Then it says, I'm washed in the water. I'm washed in the blood because of you. Hallelujah. Just because of you, because of Jesus. And the kids were really getting into that. So it's just good to know that our youth are being influenced and being cross-pollinated. Cross-pollination, when it comes to gardening and life, cross-pollination is extremely important. It really is. And them being in that environment, that's 14,000 were there, and being in that environment, and everybody, all the youth praising God and just having a wonderful time and hanging out with each other. And they kids have a strange way. When they go somewhere like that, they dress up. And I'm not talking about a tuxedo or a suit or anything like that. They dress out. They show their colors. Matter of fact, the color this year for us was blue, and they just blued all over everybody, you know. So it was very good, and we're happy to see that that our youth ministry, our children's ministry, is vibrant and growing and getting stronger and getting more like Christ, and that is just so wonderful. But let's just pause for a minute and pray for their safety coming home. Lord, I do thank you for the little ones that you have sent us. And Lord, we endeavor in our whole being to do everything that we're supposed to do while they're here, to make them strong in you, and to show them the way to walk with integrity of scriptures and walk by the Spirit of God when they go to schools and parties and neighborhoods. Lord, that they would be representative of your love and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bring them home safe. Bring them home safe. No injuries. And also, before I get started, I want to say thank you on behalf of Lisa and Joey. Good to have you back. So good to see you. Joe went home to be with the Lord, beat us to the punch, and I was telling Lisa when I went over just a minute ago, I was telling her, I said, well, you know, the praise of God is good here, but what Joe is doing is way beyond this. Way beyond this right now. But beautiful family, and if there's anything that we can do, you guys just let us know. But they did want to sincerely thank everybody for your calls, your prayers, and your support during this time. Matter of fact, I was waiting to come in before the service started, and Lisa came up to me. She said, I believe the whole church is here. But we're well represented. That is so true. A lot of great people. A lot of great people. You never know when our last breath is going to be on this earth. But we do know, being born again, we do know that the next breath we take will be with Him. And it won't be this kind of breath. It'll be an eternal breath. We'll be with Him. We may miss the next one here, but our next one is with Him, completely with Him. Amen. That's just great stuff, isn't it? We've been talking to you about the fall of our glorious state as Adam and Eve were. And we joined in that fall due to the sin of man and the things that came with it. We won't rehearse all that, but go back and listen to the messages. It'll help you, I think, and get you resettled in a lot of these things. But we also talked about the freedom. We talked about a lot of things that Jesus did because of the fall. Jesus said God already knew about it. Before the world was created, Jesus was crucified. Even before he crucified, that's who he is before he ever came. That's God's plan. God's plan was for him to die for us and us to die in him. And that is good news. It really is. But then we all talked about all the things that he gave us. And then we've been talking, the last week, we've been talking about the fullness. Our Christianity, our Christian life is not, I got saved and I'm waiting for the Jesus bus to come so we can go home. You know, we're not waiting for the Jesus bus to come home. He's coming. Matter of fact, somebody said something about, no man knows the time nor the hour. And I really do not think God, now this is my opinion, whether you want it or not. I honestly believe that it's not a calendar date. I know that the Lord knows when that day is that he's returning. But I'm not for sure that it is a calendar date that he's going to live up to. And there's reasons behind that I do think he's waiting. And we'll hopefully get to some of that that's in the message. That's toward the end of the message, and here I am just beginning. So it's like, wow, boy, you're messing up big time. No. But see, the thing that God wants to do is he knows everything. I don't have a watch, but he is time. I just don't think he's got a certain date that he's got to live up to or he's got to do at that time. He knows the time. Amen. All right, now, I will back that up with some scripture in just a minute, but I won't do it right now. We talked last week about God empowering us to become full. We're not just Christians and babies in Christ and on pacifiers and bottles and things of that nature. We start out that way. But that is not the plan of God for our Christian walk, for our walk in Christ. That's not God's plan. If we stay there, we're frozen. We're frozen in a time of thought and of manner of life. We're frozen in that time, and we've got a narrow view. And I say narrow view of Jesus and what he did for us. Yes, he paid for our sin. Yes, he set us free. Yes, he did all those things that we talked about earlier. He did every bit of that. But the narrow view of that is that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. That's the narrow view. It really, it is. Why? Because he wants us to come into the fullness of him. So we too can walk on this earth, walking in the fullness and the glory of who he is and in the character of who he is, and begin to impact whomever we're around, wherever we are. We can impact people by showing up, by saying something, or just not saying anything, just by being with them. You know, sometimes, you know, during losses of loved ones and all, you just don't have the words. You really can't find the words really to feel it, to fill the void. You just can't find the words. Why is that? Jesus wants us to feel the words through his presence. Just being there. Just being there. Being with some people. Just to know that you're there means so much to them. So we need to understand that. But he empowers our inner man, the Bible said, we talked about in Ephesians 3 last week, that he empowers us in the inner man, in our soul, so that we can be settled and founded in his love. Settled and founded in his love. And that by that, we would be able to eagerly take possession of that love. It's like, yes, Jesus loves me. We sing that song, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. But have you taken possession of him loving you? Is it your possession, or is it just a thought that you learned when you was little? It's a good thought, good saying, but have you taken possession of him loving you unconditionally and forever? Have you taken that? But he said, I'm going to get you settled and I'm going to get you founded so that you'll be able to eagerly take possession of that and be influenced in a way that you will manifest his life, his character, that you will live out his character. In other words, when we take possession of that love, when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he loves us. He always has. He does now, and he always will. Without a shadow of a doubt, he loves us. He said we can take possession of that, and then as we take possession of that, we will begin to grow into his character, into his glory, into who he is. We don't become gods. Do you hear me? We don't become gods. We just become a reflection of who he is. When they see you, they see Jesus, because he's manifesting through us. And we need to see that. And we need to understand that's what he's up to. What is God up to now? He's up to growing his people up. That's what he's up to. Now, he's got other things that he's doing. I understand that. But he said, when you grab this love, when you take possession of this love, when it owns you and you own it, he said, the manifestation of who he is and his character will begin to be lived out, because we're settled and we're solid in the fact of his love. I remember having an experience with God before in my life, and I was a Christian, done things that I shouldn't have done, and was horrified about it. It has been years ago, and left home. But God spoke to me in the midst of me leaving home for 21 days and gave me a vision of who he really is. And I saw him in the vision. It was just a vision. I saw it. And I saw me. And I saw the glory of who he was. And I saw the... And I'm born again when I was 8. But even a born again child of his, but I saw what I looked like. What I had begun and had grown to be. And he wanted to hold me. I said, can't do it. Too dirty. Done too many things. Can't make it. I can't reach that far. I saw his hands, just the tips of his fingers, just his hand, in a vision, tips of his fingers at my feet and saying, can you fall? No climbing, no reaching, no effort, just surrender. Can you just fall? I said, that I can do. And at that moment, during those next few minutes, I felt the love of God saturate my mind, saturate my soul. And I felt him removing everything that I saw I was. Do you get that? I saw him removing every bad thing, every thought, everything that I'd done. He'd already forgiven me. But see, I'm still carrying the fall. Do you hear me? I'm still carrying the past, the fall. So in that he and from that time on, it was just a whirlwind in my life of his presence being saturated with his love. And for that moment, and that has been years ago, that from that moment, I have never once doubted his love for me. Why? Because it became a revelation to me that it was mine indeed. He said, whom I've set free, who the Son set free, will be free indeed. Never revoked, never taken, and it has impacted my life. Now, we don't have to have a vision for that to happen. But we have to acknowledge what he's done. See, I think me having the vision of that was my weakness as a Christian man at the time. My weakness of believing him. So I had to have, he gave a vision in order for me to be able to enter into it. That was a weakness on my part. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's almost like, I have to have a word. I got to have a word. I got to have a word from God. I got to have a word from God. I saw a man one time said, I need a word from God. And he said, here, take this Bible. I'm telling you the truth. He gave his personal Bible to this person. He said, that's plenty of words for your life. Read it. Believe it. And let him walk you through it. Your dependency is not on a man giving you a word. Your dependency is on him. And there's nothing wrong with words from God. Nothing. But we can't make that our doctrine. We can't make that. That's the only way I'm going to be able to survive is by having somebody to walk up and give me a word. I love those moments. I've had them come, and I've given them. But you begin, bless you, you begin to see that God says, yeah, that's just the way I'm using to be able to get to you. But I want you to trust me. Whether anybody gives you a word or not, I want you to trust me. All right, so let's go on. But anyway, you begin to see that. So I want to ask a question. Said, well, what if things happen? Things happen to you, Pastor. What if things happen to me along the way? What if I fail? What if I've done so much wrong? What if? What if my life doesn't really measure up to what you're talking about? What if I really mess up? Well, I've got the answer for that. You ready? Has everybody had that question? Or at least one time in your life, you've ever thought, boy, I've really done it this time. But let's look at it. Let's get ready. Everybody knows it was in Romans 8, 28 and 29. And it says, and we know, and I'm going to stop right there. And we know. Most of us are not, and we know. We think, we feel, we doubt, we're troubled. But he says, Paul says, and we know. Now, what is this thing about and we know? What is he saying? He said, I am sure. The word know means to be sure of and pay attention to what you know. To be sure of it, and to pay attention to what you know. Give attention to it. Give your thoughts and your body to it. He said, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. Pause. Listen, he said, we know that God causes. He causes a few things. Well, how much does that include? All of it. That includes the time of my worst looking failure that I'd ever had in my entire life. Listen, what did he do? He took that failure and benefited my life. Boy, what a God we have. What a God we truly, truly have. He causes all things. That all things means the whole lot, not a whole lot, but the whole lot. Every tiny thing and every big thing, he misses nothing. Nothing is wasted to be able to benefit mine and your life. Not one thing is wasted. If you don't know what I've done, he does. And he's causing whatever you've done. He didn't say, I'll make that thing good. He didn't say that. He said, I'll make that thing right there be for your good. It'll benefit your life. He says, the whole lot. Work together. That means to cooperate. This passage, work together means to, that whatever this is, whatever this is we're failing, God is saying, that is going to work with me to benefit you. That right there is going to work with me, God. That is going to work with me to benefit his life. Boy, I tell you, have you seen the list of your life? Have you ever looked through the list of your life and say, I'm talking about even after you've been a Christian. Have you looked at the list of your life of how many times you have actually failed, how many times that you actually didn't live up to what he said we should be? He said, I'm going to use it all. Heard one man say, he said he felt like that was one of the biggest tortures that the enemy is going to have when the enemy is going to realize that everything the enemy did to try to get us to fall and fail, God used that to benefit us and make us like him. That word good means to benefit those. And then he says, to those who love God. Who's he talking about? Those who love God. That's what he's talking about. I love God during those times. I just didn't act like it. Are you with me? I didn't act like it. He goes on and he says, to those who are called. That word called means invited. That word called means to be invited. Think about it. You just messed up. You just did everything. But he's using it to benefit you. And on top of that, he's inviting you. You remember the invitation to come to him and surrender your life to him? Have you remember that time that's called, okay, we're going to give the invitation for people to come? That's the invitation for you to receive salvation. He says, this invitation is for another reason. These people who love God, I'm inviting them. Now, the question is, will we receive that invitation? Or do we even recognize it as an invitation? He said that they are called, that are invited, according, which is of the measure, to the measure of his purpose. His purpose is intention, his full intention. You're invited, I'm invited to do what? To come to him. In full measure, according to his purpose,
his intention.
I look at that and I'm like, I do not want to skip that invitation. Have you ever been invited to something and you don't remember the date? And I said, where's that invitation at? I need to, what time are we supposed to be there? Me and Brenda, we do that all the time. What time? I don't know where we put it. Brenda says, I took care of it. So we had to go look at the invitation and find out what time we're supposed to be there. Why? I wanted to make sure it was going. I wanted to make sure we lived up to that invitation. He said, I've invited, I've called everybody according to this measure. And then he says this, for those, who are those? That's the, huh? The ones who've been invited and the ones that he says love him. You love him, you're invited. Yeah, things have happened, but I've worked through all that and it's to your benefit. He goes on and he says, for those, the ones that have been invited, he foreknew. In other words, he had knowledge beforehand. He knows it all. He knows who's going to accept him, who's not. He knows that. But see, this group, he knew beforehand that they were coming to him, and he knew beforehand that he was inviting them because they love him. They love God. He predestined. He also predestines. That means he predetermined. He foreknew and he predecided. He predetermined. A lot of people talk about predestination. I'm the predestined of God. You know, it means you can do whatever you want, and God's chose you. You don't have to surrender it. That's wrong. That's not what he's talking about. He said, "Those that love me and those whom I've invited, he said, I've been predestined. I've got a predestined, a destiny beforehand." For them to be conformed, which means having the same stature, to be conformed to the image of his son. Think about it. All this stuff that I've gone through, all this stuff that I've done, God says, I've got it. I know all about it. And I am working that to your good. And on top of that, it's going to benefit you. And you love me, it's going to benefit you. And by the way, here's your invitation. Whew. By the way, here's your invitation. I don't feel like I'm qualified to be invited to anything that God wants to do. No, here's your invitation. Here it is. I got a destiny for you. It's according to the measure of my fullness. He said, and it's my purpose. He said this word conform means having the same stature as him. Conformed. God says, my destiny, fullness for your life, is for you and I, for you and me, me and you, to become like Christ. And what we think, what we say, what we do, how we act. We can have 10 times the size of this building. We can have lights. We can have whatever. We can have the best programs. We can have it all. And not be like Jesus. Do you hear me? You can have all of this. You can have, I told the people I was going to try to stay still, but I don't know that I can do that or not. Think about it. Look at what we've got. I look at it and say, look. And I look at it and say, look what God has done here. But with everything that he's done here, look at him. Look who he is. He said that you would be conformed to the stature of his image, his likeness, of his son. You looked at it and I said, that is God's destiny for mine and your life. You may feel like, I can't accomplish that. I just can't make it. I can't accomplish that. I failed so much. I've done so much. I just can't accomplish it. And I feel terrible for it. I've got a verse for you. You ready? Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. We read that, and it's like, I can't do that. You're asking me to be acceptable to God? I can't do that. We have that mentality. I can't. But see, he says, therefore, it means he reaches back. Listen to this. This scripture is going to open up to you today. I'm sure God's going to open it up for you. Therefore, reaches back to the previous chapters. Therefore. What do you mean, therefore? The previous chapters that Paul talked about in Romans. He said, the previous chapters. He said, therefore, I urge you, I beg you. That word urge and beseech, it means to, in view of these facts, find comfort. That's what that word means. In view of these facts that was in these previous chapters, in view of these facts, find comfort. The root word of that is comfort. Do you find comfort in reading the scriptures? And he says something about you. Do you find comfort in that? I do. I haven't always, but I do. And that's what he wants. That's more of our invitation. In view of the fact of these things, brethren, by the mercies of God. By means the means of. By the means of these things. By the means of these mercies. These mercies are previously bestowed compassions. By means of all these compassions of God. Mercies. Why didn't he just say, by the mercy of God? Because he wasn't talking about the mercy of God. He was talking about the mercies God has bestowed that he talked about in the previous chapters. What does that mean, Pastor? What does that mean? It means this. When you go back and read Romans 1 through 8, you begin to find that this is the ground that he tells us, this is the ground that you are able to walk on to present yourself to him. Do you hear what I say? These things in Romans 1 through 8 is the ground that we walk on to be able to present our bodies to him. Let that sink in. What does this ground look like? Okay, let's look at it. He said you are saved by grace. He said you're justified. You're innocent. He said I redeemed you. And this is God saying, I've redeemed you. I've reconciled you. No longer are you under the power of sin. And we talked about these earlier. No longer are you under the penalty of sin. This is the mercies that he says, I want you to understand, these are yours. No longer are you under the penalty of sin. No longer are you under the law. No longer are you under legalism. You're now under grace. No longer do you have condemnation. There's therefore now what? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So if anybody's condemning you, where's that coming from? It ain't coming from God. It might be coming from somebody that says they know God. But it ain't coming from God. God said, nah. No. You may even feel condemned by your own self. He includes that too. Says no condemnation. And he goes on, he says, no condemnation. He says, you're declared righteous, you're declared, you're sealed, you're adopted, and you're eternally safe, and you're eternally secure. All of that in Romans 1 through 8. The mercies of God. I want you to understand, reach back into these things and understand that this is how you're going to be able to present yourself, your bodies, living and holy before. You look at it and say, well, I'm not done everything holy. That ain't what he said. Do you hear? He said, how can I walk in the ground that he provided and go to him with my body and say, I'm holy before you? How can we do that? Anybody got a, how is that possible? Through Christ. Through Christ, how did you get holy? He gave his holiness when he took your sin. He gave his righteousness when he took your mine and your sin. So this passage is like, we think we got to do it. And God said, I've already done it. I've already done this thing. What you got to do is yield. You got to what? Surrender. He looked. We look at this and said, he said, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Present your, this word present means to be at his disposal. Oh, somebody got it. Be at his disposal. When? All the time. Be at his disposal. To stand, this word present means to stand in intimate fellowship. Listen to this. To stand in intimate fellowship with the facts that he's given. To stand in intimate fellowship with the facts that he, the mercies of God. Do you still wrestle with God that, no, he didn't do that. I don't feel this. He didn't do that. He did it. You may not feel that. Do we walk by feelings? No, we walk by faith. I'm moving again, guys. I'm working these camera guys. They're new camera guys. I'm working. So anyway, you begin to see that this presentation is I'm intimately in fellowship with them. You know, I told you the other week about mine. It's like, you know, little Jen said, mine. It's mine. We need to be able to say, that's mine. To eagerly take possession. No, that's mine. Somebody said, oh, you can't do that. Did you see what you did last week? This is mine. Do you not remember what you said last week? This is mine. Given to me by Christ. That way we can be fully as his disposal. When we see all of that and we actually begin to walk in all that, believe all that, and say, this is mine. I'm innocent. That's mine. Is it yours? Has he made you innocent? Or still, are you still walking around guilty? Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you still walking around with guilt and shame in your life? He said, no, I've already taken it. I died for that. By the mercies of God. Then he says that we would present ourselves holy, dedicated in his service. Acceptable means well-pleasing. Well-pleasing. Did you know that you're well-pleasing to God? You are well-pleasing to God. did you hear the conversation of me and my wife? How can that be well-pleasing? They said, he didn't say that was well-pleasing. But he said, you're well-pleasing. That's who you are. You may not be acting like it, but that's who you are. That's how he sees you. Oh, my goodness. Well-pleasing. You know, when you look at all this stuff, if we can't work, listen to me. Saved by faith. Grace, are you saved? Justified, redeemed, reconciled, no more condemnation. And you begin to see all these, there are about 10 things through that scriptures that you see all this. If we cannot worship God over that, I want you to hear me. If we cannot worship God over him doing that for us, then our worship is vain. Do you hear me? This thing about vain is fruitless. Your worship is fruitless. If you disregard all of this right here that he says I've done for you, you disregard all of this, and he said it's worthless. As a matter of fact, that word in being vain means it has a touch of manipulation in it. I'm manipulating God. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's vain worship. You mean I'm manipulating God in it? Yeah, if your heart's not true. If your heart's not saying, this is who I am. You shall worship me in what? Spirit and in what? Truth. Right, here's the truth. If we cannot worship him, we need to reevaluate our worship. Man, I tell you what, we ought to come in here every day, every time we're together corporately, and just lift the roof off almost for what he's done. I mean, but what if they see us? Who cares? What if they say, who cares? But I'll be called undignified. Who cares? I've been called worse than that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why? I'm not saying you just be crazy. No, I'm saying this right here ought to drive our worship to the highest point that we could ever see. That God, when he looks at me, I don't have I'm in him. When he sees me, he sees his son. He sees the blood. I'm washed in the water, washed in the blood. What is it? I'm new. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm washed in the water, washed in the blood, all because of you. Hallelujah. The whole thing is like, celebrate here. Celebrate your life right here. And then take this with you into your everyday living. I think the message talks about your walking around life. Your work life, take it wherever you're walking around life, your neighborhood life, your school life, wherever you are. I'm not saying you go, no, you need to honor the authority. Do you hear? There's balance in that. If he puts you under authority and things, honor that authority. Do you understand this thing about the straight and narrow way of God? He said his way is what? Straight and narrow. The way of the world is what? Wide open, straight and narrow. But you know the problem with the straight and narrow way is, was there a problem with that? Yeah. Well, what is it? I'd like to know what's wrong with it. I didn't say anything wrong. I said, but there is a problem. What's the problem? There's a ditch on both sides. One's called legalism, trying to earn everything, trying to live up to everything, I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. You can get in that ditch, and you're off the narrow way. That's on one side. Well, what's the other side? Lawlessness. Lawlessness, ungoverned. So that's the problem. The problem is the two ditches. You got to stay on the straight and narrow way. Why? Right here is what he said I am. And what did Popeye say? I am what I am. I am what I am. Said, what'd you bring Pop up? What'd you bring Popeye up? It popped up in my head, so it's like. Said, look, he said, okay. What? He said, this right here. We ought to praise God all the time for him. Whew. Oh my goodness. I'm still on page one. This is the ground that we walk on to present our bodies to him. You thought about that? Ain't nothing new and I've done. I've told you this before. Ran across somebody and said, I'm a self-made man. And my ungoverned response said, you look it. What? I said, you look like a self-made man. You know, I'd have done a few things different if I was you. You know. You know. Well, that's that porcupine stuff that comes out and goes. Pum, pum, pum. And a lot of times I say, I repent, God, I repent. I just. But he said the worship. But this thing about vain worship, is that we're trying to manipulate God to do or be whatever we want him to do and be. And you know what the Bible says manipulation is? Like witchcraft. Wow. Then he goes on, he says, now, because of all of this, present your bodies and do not be conformed to this world. This word conformed is not the same word that was in Romans chapter 8. They're two different words. When you see conformed, that's how it's translated in the King James, but that's not in the Greek. The first one is be conformed from the inside into his image. This one, he says, do not be conformed. This is being conformed from the outside, the world. Two different words. Same word in English, but two different words. It said, do not be shaped by unstable patterns that the world has. But be transformed. Be consciously committed to the will of God. By the renewing of your mind. Not renewal, renewing. It's a constant thing. That's the word. Transform means a continual process of adjustment of moral and spiritual thinking to the mind of God. A continual process of adjustment. And also in this, it says not achieved by the person. Remember that. Your transformation was not achieved by you. And not achieved by the person, but by God's persuasive power over human understanding. That's transformation. That's the reason self-made is self-transformation. I'm a self-made man. I transform myself. Boy, hey, look like Frankenstein. I didn't say that to him. You understand? Look, the best we can do is going to be what? Like filthy rags. That's the best we can do. We got to get that in our mind. It's not about our doing. It's about our believing about who we are, and then out of that we do. Do not be conformed, shaped by an unstable pattern. This word also means to masquerade. Put a mask on. Then you find your way like Saul on the road to Damascus. Somebody got it. He was on the road to Damascus. It's like, okay, so what did he do? He dismasked him right in front of himself and in front of the horse. Have you ever been demasked from your masquerade all of a sudden? But, you know, once again, I'll go back to that verse. All things work together. Even the demasking, he is what? He's bringing you closer and closer to him. See, God will put you and I in difficult situations that we will have the choice to be able to choose following God or not. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's going to put us in these situations. He's going to put us in these difficulties. What's going to govern my life? What's going to rule where I'm at? You know, it says this over in Romans, over in the Message. It says, "Do not be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking about it." Don't be so well adjusted to the culture that you're in that you'll fit into it without even thinking about what you're doing. Another version says this, New Living Translation says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. And here's one, Phillips Translation. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. I just didn't follow up on it. Probably a good thing that I didn't. But a thought to me is that in studying and writing that down, I said, I need to get a thing of Play-Doh and get Keith to mold something. Keith's very creative. He's very creative. I'm sure he'd have come up with anything. But see, the whole process, that where would that have come from? Him. To the world system, politics. Would you bring up politics? Yes, he did. Politics wants to mold you and I about what they want. I need to be molded this way about politics. I ain't believing you said that. Well, I said it. And it's the truth. Then you got religion that wants to mold you a certain way. That's the two ditches. Then you got that thing about lawlessness. Paul called the lawlessness over here, the Antichrist is the man of lawlessness. So when you see lawlessness all over the land, you see the spirit of Antichrist at work in people's lives. Doesn't matter who they are. Or you got somebody on this side that's, you got all the law you got to do, or you're not going to make it. Be transformed. He goes on, like I said, and I've got to close. I really do. He goes on to say, you didn't do this. How do we know that? Over in Philippians chapter 2, it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So where did you get the power to do what you're doing? Yeah. Say it out loud, Eric. Yeah. From him. You got it from him. Where did you get the faith that you have today? From him. Where did you get the righteousness that you have today? From him. And it says, he gives you the desire and the power to be able to do what he wants you to do. The Passion Translation says, God will continually revitalize you, implanting within you the passion to do what pleases him. If you're doing anything that pleases him, Guess who's doing it? He is. He is. You don't get a medal. We don't get a medal for that. We don't even get an attaboy. We just surrender. Why? Because he gets the glory. He gets the glory. He gets all the glory. Phillips, the same one in Amplified says, it's not in your own strength. For it is God who is the whole, who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. You may say, I'm not all that bad. Well, you haven't seen yourself. Because without him, can't do anything. Without him working in us. See, here's the thing about it. He died for us. We died in him. He lives through us. We live in him. In him we have our what? Our own being. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. Not I, but Christ lives. And he died for me, and he lives through you. So if there's anything good coming out of you, it's him. It's him. All right, did you learn anything today? All right, God bless you. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. And Lord, get us to this place that we become not just saved people, but we're transformed people. We have the transformation happening. And to brand new people, giving you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Awesome word this morning, right? How many enjoyed that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the word this morning. And just have a few announcements. No healing rooms this Tuesday, okay? Make sure you pass that on. No healing rooms this Tuesday. And also, we will have no services on Wednesday nights in July, okay? Put that on your calendar. No services in July on Wednesday nights. And also, Stephen Smith will not be having his home group on Wednesdays either. So no service on Wednesday nights for adults and children, all right? And no healing rooms this Tuesday. Okay, so we do have a new Sunday school class starting next Sunday, which will be by Ed Somerville's The Pressure Is Off. Okay, sounds good, doesn't it? Amen. So we just thank God for that. And as we close today, and we want to pray for, that was a prayer request for Sylvia Bibler. She has some infection in her toe. So we want to pray for Miss Sylvia's toe, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much today, first of all, for your word, Lord. And your word declares, God, that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed, Lord. So, Lord, we pray for Miss Sylvia's toe. We pray that this infection will dry up in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, if you'll stand. And we want to remind our visitors, please meet Pastor Terry at the guest table in the back before you leave today. Thank you for coming. Father, we thank you again for your word, Lord. And God, as we depart from this place, never your presence. Watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.